God.
You are God.
Every praise.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
it's to our God. care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise for God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Every praise goes on to God. What a way to start your morning, waking up, giving God the praise, the highest praise. And this morning, Father, we come to you saying, hallelujah, 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 Lord. You are so worthy to be praised, Lord. As we start our morning, Father God, we see nobody but you first, Father God. We seek, Lord Jesus, to be in your presence, Father God. And we say hallelujah to you this morning, Father God. We give you the highest praise, Lord Jesus, as we start our day, Father God, as we command our atmosphere, Father God. We're commanding our atmosphere, Father God, knowing that you, Lord, are worthy to be praised. That nothing else right now at this second means anything, nothing else means nothing else to us, but knowing that we are here with you and honoring you, giving you all the glory, exalting you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. As we start this broadcast this morning, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit in, Lord Jesus. We accept the die, Father God, and just allow you, Lord, to take the wheel as you always do, Father God. And we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for being everywhere, Lord Jesus, and every person that's on this line, whether they're nationally, internationally, Father God, locally, Father God, in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us, Father God, when we give up on ourselves, Lord Jesus. So for that, Father God, this morning, we just say hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We just tell you thank you, Lord. We let you know that you are worthy to be praised, Father. We exalt thee, Lord Jesus, with humble hearts, Father God, and just asking you, Lord Jesus, to continue, Father God, to do your miracles, signs, and wonders, Father God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, just to continue, Father God, to walk with us, talk with us, commune with us, Father God. Just be with us in each and every step, each and every breath that we take, Father. We just thank you this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We give you all the honor, all the praise, because you are more than wonderful, Father. You are miraculous, Lord Jesus. And we just want you to know that this morning, Father, before we do anything else, Lord, we want you to know that you are, I am, you are everything to us. We know that you know who you are, Father God. But sometimes we have to just come before you, Lord Jesus, and just let you know, let the words that come out of our mouth, let you hear them, let you accept them, Father God. Let you know that we adore you, Lord Jesus, that you are our everything, Father God. We just thank you on this morning, Father God. We thank you. We love you. And as I stated, we exalt thee, Father God. We exalt thee, Lord Jesus. We cannot stop praising you, Father God. We cannot stop worshiping you, Father God. And we definitely cannot stop loving you, Lord. Because of you, Father God, we are who we are, Father God. Because of your majestic ways, Father God. We just want to tell you about your splendor, Lord Jesus, because you're constantly always showing us things, Father. And we thank you on this morning, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Good morning, good morning, good morning. As I was in my prayer time early this morning, the word majesty just kept coming into my spirit, majesty, majesty, and I'm a Google type person, so I just got up and I was like, okay, God, what are you saying to me this morning? And I Googled and I just heard the most beautiful song in reference to majesty, just talking about God's splendor. So when the song that came on this morning came on, it just like really just took me in a place to let me know that sometimes God just wants us to give him, you know, don't ask for anything. Just come and let him know who he is to us. Because throughout the day, just throughout life journeys or whatnot, we get so busy that we do not give God his proper timing, or we do not make him our higher priority. You know, we don't prioritize him right. And I can only speak for myself when I get on these broadcasts and just hope and pray that somebody else has the same connection, because we know that God is a God where he's everywhere. And we know that when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, that it's something that needs to be spoke about. And this morning, that's what we're going to speak about. We're going to just speak about majesty, because that's what God had placed on my heart. And the scripture that it was several scriptures that I came up, but what came into me and where I'm at on this day, and praying that everybody else is it. This it says here is 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. 12, wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. And what it meant to me was that at when I first went to ABM and I used to hear my apostle get up and talk, he would always sit and say, what did God say to you? What did the Holy Spirit say to you? We can sit and we can go through the different, the Bible was there to give you examples. The Bible is there to, you know, this is me now, to give you examples and to let you know whether you're on the right or the wrong path. But I couldn't understand for maybe like a good year and a half when he said, what did the Bible say to you? And then I had another opportunity where he asked me again, what did the Bible say to you? Not just me, he asked the congregation and the people that we were dealing with, what did God say to you? And it took me back to an experience that I had. And I remember so eloquently on January 17, 2007, that God told me, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And when he said that, I was in a place, a dark place. A rat had just came across my feet. And I'm like sitting there saying, but God, how can you say that to me? And I'm in the place where I'm at, and in my heart and everybody who was around me knew that I shouldn't have been at that place at that point in time. But then I had to go back and remember some of the things that I had previously stated, that I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm saying yes to your will. And not to say that, to think that I was in God's will completely. I was in some days and out the next days. I was doing things I was supposed to and things I wasn't supposed to. I actually took on the role of God, trying to do things in my own way and whatnot. It ended up getting in a place where I either had to choose God or stay on the same side as I was, living a life, a double-minded life. And we know that that's not of God. But to keep moving, during this time, once I sat there that day, and I heard what God said, and like I said, I'm a journalist, wrote the day down and whatnot, but I still didn't get it. I didn't get it because I was in a place, I was in a captivity physically, mentally, and spiritually. I was angry. I was hurt, felt betrayed by God himself, because I felt that I was doing the will of God, not knowing that I was sending people to death, had in a place of authority, but taking authority in my own hands and bending rules. But I didn't see this until 3 years later down the line. But during my time, I had to take a long 38-month trip. God, me and God for 38 months. And at the beginning of it, it was me and everybody, me, my mama, me, my best friend, everybody. I was still too complacent, still in a place where I was not reverencing God, because remember, he told me, don't be afraid, I am with you. He didn't say your mama, he didn't say your husband, whatever. He said, I am with you. So down that trail, four months down the trail, God took everybody away from me, stripped everybody. And I was in a place now where it was just me and God, me and God. And I during that time, I learned who he was. I started learning who God was, not just hearing who he was. I learned him, and that gave me a sense of knowing. It gave me a sense of knowing who he was. So during the course of my travels, God started stripping things off of my eyes. So when I look out in the sky, I see nothing but beauty. My ears became keener, and I could hear the birds chirping, and it just would put like a certain melody in my heart, and I'll start singing and start humming, and my whole insides would just be so moved. And I realized that each and every day, because me opening up myself and being in a place that I believed and trusted God, that he was going to, for me not to be afraid, that he was going to be with me each and every day, because I was in a place of acceptance. I'm going to say it again. I was in a place of acceptance of where God had me and what he was doing internally inside of me. Because when I was a broken vessel full of hatred, felt that I was scorned, just like everybody in the world just hated me, but I was the one that always would give everybody something or be there or do this, whatever, not knowing that I was interfering into God's plan, because it was Nita's way. And when I got into a place of brokenness and was in a place of receiving and accepting where God had me, I decided that it's best for me to surrender. And so I surrendered my everything that I could possibly think of that was hindering me, that was holding me down, all the chains. I just start sitting there and would physically start just unlocking them. And then God came to me and he sent me to a place, and I met Monica. And I'm sitting there, and he just showed me her, but showed me nothing about her past, but her expected end, and saw that it was a broken person, the same as I was. And God said, you two will walk together, and I'll teach you together. And that's what we did. We got into a place of acceptance and started receiving what God wanted us to learn, not knowing that one day he was going to fulfill our heart's desire of talking to other people and sharing testimonies and sharing the word of God and just doing what he chose for us to do because we said yes. And the beauty of everything with my story, I can go on and on and on. Due time, my walk started changing. And when I say my walk, I don't mean like physically. I mean the places that I would go and the things that I would hear. My hearing got keener, and then my eyes got, I started looking through God's eyes, and then I noticed a change in my heart. I noticed that the chain started coming off. And the beautiful thing about it is when you have an experience with God, other people think you are crazy. But when you have that experience with him, it doesn't matter what the other people think, because it's you and him having the conversations. It's you and him going through the motions. It's you and him. Hear what I'm saying. You're not alone. It's you and him. So God would have me do things that I would just physically didn't care where I was at. If I had to start acting like I was untwisting a lock or turning a key, and hundreds of people could have been around me, it didn't matter because I had accepted. And I was in a place of acceptance, and I was in a newness. God was in side of me. I realized that my inner man was being changed. I realized that me being in his presence, it didn't matter what different people thought or what different people saw. What mattered was that I was in his splendor. He had became real to me. Every time I would read the Bible was literally real to me. I could walk up and down mountains because that's what we were at, in a place that we was on a mountain but yet lived in a valley. And I could walk up the mountain and physically feel like that I was with the Israelites picking up manna, picking up wheat, or doing whatever. And what I'm saying is that when you have a true encounter with God, a true experience with God, and you can identify to what he says to you about what did he say to you, or what was you in his conversation, or and like it may have not been through doing him personally, it could have been through a spoken word, but when you grasp it and you hold on to it and you realize that it was God speaking to you, your experience the bad experience that you think that you were going to have, it turns into a beautiful experience because now you're in the splendor of God. You see how majestic God is in your life. And the sad part about it, while other people were out struggling and doing different things, my husband, my son, I was in the presence of the Lord. It was beautiful for me. I sometimes watch my language and my talking when I'm talking to Monica because I don't ever want to go back to the place physically. But sometimes I ask myself, God, how can I get back to where you were, where me and you were at during that time? And I have to catch myself because I don't want to go backwards. But I that moment, that time, that hour, I was there in the presence of God. And he told me this morning, he said, you there. He said, you're past there. That's why it's not a normal feeling to you. You're no longer there because I brought you into another place of worship. I brought you into another place of praise. I brought you into another place that you're identifying me, that you're recognizing me, and you don't care who say what. You don't care what they think. You don't care who if people are collectively coming together because you are in my presence. Even if it's one, you're still in my presence. If it's none, you're still in my presence. And that's where I need you to be. And this is what I wanted you to know today. I wanted you to realize who I am in your life. And to realize today, that's why he kept saying to me this morning at 4:44, majesty, majesty, majesty. And I want to share that with you all. I want to let you know that God is just awesome. He is everything to me. And when you have that personal experience and you let your guard down and you just freely open yourself up to him, no matter where you're at that second, at that moment, give God, just surrender to God. And he does take us, just he meet us where we're at. He meet us. It's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same. You're never going to experience the same experience over and over again. God is going to take you to another level. And if you're not ready to go to that level, then you're just going to stay parked there. And it's going to be up to you if you make a conscious decision, where it's going to be up to you to sit and work on the things that's hindering you, that's holding you down. Man can give me everything. Man can give me a great job. Man can give me a beautiful home. I can have everything in the natural. And I love where God has me right now naturally. But guess what? It's an awesome feeling. When you know that God has elevated you spiritually, when you know that all you think about throughout the day, even if you having a hard day, even if things just chaotic, you still are able to see God in the things that you're doing. You're able to sit and see where his hand is in the plan that you're dealing with right then and there. So you know at the end of the day, all is well. You know at the end of the day, no matter what the circumstances or the situation is, it's all is well. Because you know based on your personal experience that God is not going to leave you. Neither will he forsake you if that's where you choose for him to be. You have to make a conscious decision that you want him to be there walking with you. You want his majestic aurora. You want his presence. And what do you have to do? You have to reverence God. You have to reverence God. God did not make us. We're not perfect. Jesus was perfect. He wants us. He's calling holiness, sanctification, reverence, consecration. That's what he's calling. That's what he's asking of us. That's what he's asking of us. We know to be in his will is to be obedient. We know that. But God is still, he still loves to hear us talk to him, sing to him, dance for him. He loved these things. These things are in the Bible. And what happened before, it can happen again. You need to put yourself in a place of praise and worship. But you're praising God. You're worshiping God. It doesn't matter if nobody else does not like what you're doing. You have to come into a place and a reality that it is you and God and nobody else. It is you and God, and when you're following the instructions of the Holy Spirit, then you're free. You're free like a butterfly. You are free. Before I went into my situation, a butterfly fell right on my shoulder and sat there for at least 7 minutes. And I was like, oh, my God, I love butterflies. And I had to go and research it, and it said freedom, but yet, in the physical, I was going into a captivity, not even understanding what was going on because I didn't know God. I heard of God. I did not know him. I did not realize what he had imparted in me because I answered the call, not realizing that I was telling God that I'm surrendering everything to you. And when you do these things, you never know what your next assignment may be. You never know. When I got to my assignment, my sister Monica said, don't be mad with me, but I prayed for you. I was in a place where I was just about ready to just give up, not go anymore. I just couldn't do it no more by myself. I prayed you into this situation. So please don't be angry with me, but thank you. Thank you for answering the call. And I'm sitting there looking at her like, if you just don't get out, I don't know what you're talking about. Just get out my face. Just go on. But through the course of the time when God started working with us and we start having waking up at the same time and reading the same scripture and being obedient to what the scripture's saying and just throughout the day, just in the presence of God, I realized that when you say yes to God and you're in a place of total surrenderance, and that's where I was in 2007, and God is going to put you on the assignment that he gave you. That assignment was completed, and I was in his presence. I thought I was in the wilderness, but the wilderness was out in the world, because once I came out in the world, I came out of God's presence. And I had to start the process all over again. And I thank God for 3 years, I wouldn't go into not one church. And one day, me and God was talking. I had purchased my son a car. And I said he needed the car. He was in college, and he needed the car to come back to California. But unknowing to me, abruptly, I didn't have a vehicle. So my transportation and everything was limited, and where I was living was nowhere like around different people. And I met someone that introduced me I met someone and told me, listen, you need to come to this church, ADM and whatnot. They may have said one thing, you know, how they told me how the pastor was, how the first lady was. When I got there, they was exactly as to what I saw. But this is, I'm going to tell you, God went a little deeper with me because, see, I had already known him. I had already had an assignment from him that I fulfilled. I had already walked with him. I had already been broken down to the ground, humiliated to the point that at one point in time I felt like, okay, I just can't even go to the child hall. I can't do anything because this very same place that where I was at is a place that I used to be, in a place of employment. But God, that's what I have to say right now, but God. But when I got to ADM and I saw different things, but I'm going to sit and say this, it was one time that I went to sleep. I wasn't sober. And in that soberness and that slumpness, I got caught up. But God, in the time of the caught up, God just started tapping my hand and tapping my shoulder and sitting and saying, "It, listen, I am here. I'm here. If you need to get back focused, get up out of your mess, get up, start leaving people who you think are one thing, they're not the other. I need you to look through my eyes. I need you." It was like a big hello. Look, get your act together, okay? Stop sitting and getting into things or listening to things that's perverting your ears, because you have already been where they are at. I need you to move forward. So in that time of moving forward, people who had hurt me deliberately started moving out of my life. And then when I got to church every Sunday, nothing else didn't matter. I didn't come to see Apostle Temple. I came to meet God, to hear the word that he was speaking to me. I can remember some Sundays, and Apostle Temple might have sat and said, "This lady, every Sunday the word for her." Most of the time it was. Because when you sit and you've been in the presence of God and you've been through some things and you know that he's changed you, you know that he's raised you, you know that he's built you, you know that you went through the fiery furnace and didn't come out with a stench, you know God. You know you hear from God. You know that you're in the presence of God. So God had to take me through a season, and every lesson, every Sunday we had a drawing board. Every Sunday on that board during our time where we was taking, I'm going to say Sunday school, God was talking to me. And then the message that he was setting forth, it was messages that I could identify, because I knew that he was reeling me back in. Why do I know? Because I was asking him. And my prayer was to him, I love where I was, but I'm ready to go higher. I'm ready to meet you at another level. Not meet Apostle Temple, not meet First Lady, not meet the congregation. I was seeking to meet God. So I'm able to sit and tell you all this morning, when the word majesty comes, I'm able to sit and expound on it, because he's taken me from point A, and he's bring from A to B. And I don't know where God is saying that I'm at right now. I don't know where God is where I'm at in the learning process. But I know for myself, because I decided to get back into the will of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I decided to get in the will of God wholeheartedly, constantly stabbed, constantly saying that I think I'm so holy. Well, I'm here to tell you today, it is my heart's desire to be holy. So when I say the word majesty, I'm saying it in all honor. I'm saying it with all praises. I'm saying it with every worship in my heart, in my mind, and in my soul. And I'm saying hallelujah. And when I'm saying hallelujah, that hallelujah goes so far that it reaches everywhere. It reaches, it just takes over everything with an echo and effect. Because I know how good God is. I know that God kept me on the right road. I could have walked away being a follower. But that's one thing about me. I've never been a follower. That's why it's so hard for me to get in alignment sometimes. I've never been a follower. I knew if I had not had an experience with God, then I would have took the wrong step. And guess what? It may have took me another 40 years to get to where I'm at today. So when I say the word majesty, and I don't even have to close my eyes. My body just trembles with the spirit of the Lord all over me, because it was me and him that brought me to this point right now. I'm to the point, if everything leaves right now, guess what? I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm in his majestic ways. I'm in a place of wonders. I'm in a place where I see miracles because I am a miracle. All four of my sons are miracles. I know what God is to me, who he is to me. I know his splendor. I know his deliverance. I know that he is the one that awoke me, awakening. I know he's the one that delivered me out of my mess. He delivered every time I would go back and I would sit and get a realization because it may have been spoke over somebody's pulpit. And remember, God was talking to me. He had a special message to me. That's how I looked at it. It didn't matter how everybody else took it. I was sitting at the edge of my seat, and my apostle probably, if he paid attention to my first lady, they probably was like, this lady at a movie theater. You're right, because I was hearing what the word of God was saying to me. I was realizing that God said, I kept you through your situation. I kept you. I put you on in the place where you're at right now. And because of your obedience, because of you being disciplined, and even the days that you fall off, I'm there, the one that's going to push you back over. So I understand why the Holy Spirit had me up this morning, 4:44, saying, Majesty, Majesty. So I leave you all today asking you to ask yourself the same question that was asked of me three times. What did God say to you? What did God say to you? And when you realize what he said to you and you put it with the experience that you went through, you will be sitting and singing, how great is our God? Because you realize that it was only him that could have took you from one place to the other. It was only him. And me and Monica can attest how the Holy Spirit will wake you up in your craziest times and tell you to do something or whatnot. It is only him that will keep you during the time that you're doing things that man may sit and say that you're not supposed to do. So I ask you, how great is your God? I ask you to identify, what did God say to you? Not what he said to Moses, not what he said to Noah, to Joseph, to Paul. They were great men of God. And so are you. And so am I, a great woman of God, in my own special way, in my way that God would have me to be. You special in the way that he would have you to be. You just need to come to the realization and then accept it, receive it, grasp it, hear it, eat it, think in it, and apply it into your life. Let go and let God so you can see his beauty, so you can see his splendor, so you can see and experience his love. The love part is just, words can't even say express the love of God. Because each and every last one of you should have so many testimonies about how much God loves you that you can write a book. You can write a book about how much God loves you. Because he woke us up this morning. He loves you. You got food on your table. He loves you. You're not affected by the pandemic. He loves you. So ask yourself again, how great is your two questions? How great is our God? And what did God say to you? And open yourself back up. Open yourself up so he can show you what you're asking him, so he can tell you if you need a place to go back into a place of remembrance. Because trust and believe, he said something to you. He has said, when you might have been in that car accident and the jaws of life may have had to pick you out, take you out of it. He said something to you when you was laying on that bed, that deathbed, and he sat and he healed you. He said something to you when you was out there whoring in the streets. He said something to you, and not only did he say something to you, he delivered you. Delivered you from your mess, and then he kept you. You have no HIV. You have none of that. That's God. That's God. When you sit and you got to that point where you were smoking and doing cocaine and just spiraling out of control, and one day God said, no, enough is enough. I got an assignment for you. Wake up, come up out of your unsober ways. I need to use you. He was telling you something. He was letting you know something. When he sat and said, move yourself away. You are my sheep. You're not my wolf. Get yourself out of the den, out of the herd, that however, the pack of wolves that you're associating yourself to. He's saying something to you. He's telling you something. It's up to you to listen. It's up to you to identify what he's saying to you. And then you sit and you say, okay, God, I've been obedient, so what's next? You're inviting him into the place for the Holy Spirit to lead you. And you're able to say, God, your majesty. God, I exalt thee. God, you're just more than wonderful, Father God. You are the great I am. You are my Jehovah Rapha. You are my everything, Father God. Without you, I'm nothing, Lord Jesus. I need more of you, Father. Fill my cup up, Father God, because I am available to you, Lord Jesus. Once you get into that place and you do the identifying part of it, you have to identify what God has said to you. And then you have to sit and put yourself in a place where you're ready to exceed whatever it is that you're going to have to do to get to that experience, go through that experience that God, that God and only God can get you through, not man, not whatever. When I sit and say and tell you all today, after sitting and do every dance that I've ever known in my life unto the Lord, because he has placed me and my family because of obedience. It's not easy. It's extremely hard. But when you make a conscious decision that God is the head of your life no matter what, people, places, and things may be removed from you because you are standing and you want to stand in the presence of the Lord. Nothing else makes a difference. You want the crown of righteousness that God say that we can have. It doesn't matter what fall off. It doesn't matter who go which way. It doesn't matter who does not understand, because you are in the presence of the Lord and you're willing to give him every praise, every worship. You're willing to sacrifice, make whatever sacrifices, but knowing you're being obedient, you're disciplined, and you just want that presence. Like I said yesterday, it's like a child waiting for Christmas gifts. That's how I am right now, just wanting to wake up every morning or even go to sleep at night so I can see visions and see the dreams that God has, that God shows me, or I can hear his voice waking me up. That's because I've had an experience with God, an experience that would never make me go back into the place that I was before. I can't sit. We all fall short of his glory. But one thing about it, the Holy Spirit will quicken you. If you're listening, if you're in a place where you're able to feel what God is, what the Holy Spirit is doing to you, where you can easily snap right out of it and repent and get right back into the place where you're at. So again, I ask you, what did God say to you, and how great is your God? We love you at ADM, but God loves you best. And most of all, we want you to experience the goodness of God. We want you to experience the love of God. We want you to experience the presence of God. Most of all, we want you to obtain salvation so you can have eternal life. So again, as I said on yesterday, if you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where you will be covered with the unadulterated truth, with no holdbacks, a person don't care what the bishop, it could be the archbishop, the president, whomever is going to say, but going to tell you what God has told him himself, then I urge you to become a part of ADM. I pray that my testimonies and my experiences on this morning has helped somebody to know that it's okay. It's okay to let go and let God. It's okay sometimes to express your shame, because that shame turns into fame. It turns into a fame that God, only you and God knows about. You don't have to be on a public stage. You don't have to be the front of everything. The fact of it is that you're on a stage with God. He is your audience, and that's what makes a difference. So I sit and say to you, ask yourself, what has God said to you? And we will see you all back. And I pray that you have a wonderful, joyous the rest of your day and a beautiful weekend. And just ask yourself, how great is our God? And just allow his presence to overcome you. So we will see you all back again, 7 a.m. Monday morning. And we will let you know when we will resume our empowerment with Apostle Temple, 8 p.m. next week, so you can break the bread of life with us, and your thirst can be your thirst can be quenched. So we love you, and we pray that you have a great weekend. God bless.